troubled about something, whether they know it or not. And Dolly was always conscious of that. She sympathised with her clients. Too much, sometimes. In the early days, she'd had to learn how to shake it off, because once the inhibitions dissolved and the punters started talking and the cards began to do their work, people would tell her everything. Everything. And she felt for them. Of course she did. It was exhausting. But it was her life, and mostly she loved it. Dolly made a living from her tarot cards, because, frankly, she had to squeeze a living out of something, and at the time of the divorce, given her peculiar gift and her interest in other people's lives, it was the obvious choice. But the cards were more to Dolly than simply the tools of her trade. She depended on them to help her see things more clearly. In fact, she would ruminate with them several times a day, and although sometimes, she couldn't deny, they ruminated back in unfathomable gibberish, generally that wasn't so. Generally, Dolly's cards knew the answers before she did. The trick, of course, was in learning how to decipher them. There was an embroidered hanging at the broom cupboard window, blocking whatever small, greasy breeze might have seeped in. Dolly would have pulled it back, but the half-darkness was useful. It was calming, and it helped her to concentrate. Nikki, her client, was still staring goggle-eyed at the death card. Dolly leaned across the small table and patted her hand.
"It's the smoking, isn't it?"
Nikki said.
"Is it the smoking, Dolly?"
Dolly shook her head. The death card tends to represent the end of something which has served its purpose and the dawn of something new. It's a very... She was turning more cards now, flipping and twisting them like a Las Vegas croupier. The clients expected it. They needed it. When people came to see her, they expected various things. To be reassured, above all, that they weren't being fooled. And so she employed all sorts of charlatan's tricks to help them believe it. Murmurs and gazes, wrist flicks and silent nods. Dolly could have read the cards over baked beans and toast, if she'd needed to, with the telly blasting. But the punters didn't like that, and neither did she. They liked a show. For £40, who wouldn't? The death card, Dolly continued, can actually be a very hopeful card, Nikki. Out with the old, in with the new, that sort of thing. Let's have a look, shall we? The tinderbox tarot lady, a.k.a. Ms. Dolly Green, frowned and hunched over the table, show on hold, just for a moment, while she actually looked at the cards. She had placed them in a loop of 10 around her in a personalised variation of the Celtic cross. It was her opening spread, her overview. After that, there were other, more traditional spreads, but to Dolly, this was the big one, the one that threw the widest light. And here it was. The King of Cups, the Knight of Cups, reversed, the Emperor, reversed, and death. Death indeed. Chapter 2. The great advantage of living along a bike track was the silence. The little room, the broom cupboard, was quiet and soothing in its half-darkness. She and Nikki sat opposite one another, a small table draped in shimmering cloth between them. On a shelf at Dolly's shoulder, there smouldered from the incense burner a resin of myrrh and some dried mugwort, which offered a strong, sweet, pleasant smell, and which seemed to induce in Dolly a dreaminess she found conducive during her readings. Whether it was habit, ritual, mere showmanship, Dolly didn't know and hardly bothered to wonder anymore. In any case, the incense, the candlelight, the silence, the dark walls, the closeness of the room. They combined to set a tone, and it helped. Every